A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The way of the just is smooth, the path of the just you make level. Yes, for your way and your judgments, O Lord, we look to you. Your name and your title are the desire of our souls. My soul yearns for you in the night. Yes, my spirit within me keeps vigil for you. When your judgment dawns upon the earth, the world's inhabitants learn justice. O Lord, you mete out peace to us, for it is you who have accomplished all we have done. O Lord, oppressed by your punishment, we cried out in anguish under your chastising. As a woman about to give birth writhes and cries out in her pains, so were we in your presence, O Lord. We conceived and writhed in pain, giving birth to wind. Salvation we have not achieved for the earth. The inhabitants of the world cannot bring it forth. But your dead shall live. Their corpses shall rise. Awake and sing, you who lie in the dust. For your dew is the dew of light, and the lands of shades gives birth. The word of the Lord. From heaven, the Lord looks down on the earth. You, O Lord, abide forever, and your name through all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for it is time to pity her, for her stones are dear to your servants, and her dust moves them to pity. The nations shall revere your name, O Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory, for the Lord has rebuilt Zion and appeared in his glory, when he has regarded the prayer of the destitute and not despised their prayer. Let this be written for the generation to come, and let his future creatures praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his holy height. From heaven, he beheld the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoners, to release those doomed to die.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria a ti, Domine.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light."
Verbum Domini.
Today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew is one of my favorite excerpts from the entire Bible. When we hear Jesus inviting his hearers to come to him, it really feels like he is speaking to each of us on a deep personal level. The compassion, gentleness, and kindness that come through in his tone are unmistakable. It is easy to feel God's closeness and experience a sense of comfort and consolation coming from these words of our Lord. But are these merely nice-sounding words that inspire good feelings and nothing more? Does Jesus truly mean what he says here? If we find ourselves overworked and overwhelmed with burdens, can we go to Jesus to find rest? How does Jesus give us rest, especially when it seems that many Christians who come to Jesus still have burdens after their encounter with Christ? What is this rest to which Jesus is referring? We are left with so many questions. And although today's gospel reading is significantly short, it is packed with meaning, symbolism, and allusions to the Old Testament. Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. A yoke invokes the image of a beast of burden, such as a donkey or an ox, that is fitted with a beam of wood across its shoulders and back, which enables the animal to carry heavy loads across certain distances. However, there are instances in the Old Testament, such as in the book of Sirach, where the yoke becomes a symbol for instruction and discipleship. The book of Sirach exhorts its readers to take upon themselves the yoke of wisdom, to submit themselves to her school and to learn from her. And thus, when we take upon ourselves the yoke of Jesus, this means that we are truly to become his disciples and to learn from his wisdom, his teachings, and his example. It's also interesting to note that young, untrained oxen were often yoked together with an older, experienced ox so that the young one would learn discipline from the older one. When we take upon ourselves the yoke of Christ, we know that we do not carry his yoke alone. We are carrying it alongside Christ, who bears most of the burden himself. We are the young oxen learning from Christ, who is the elder, learned ox. And this image of carrying the yoke of Christ along with the Lord naturally calls to mind the image of Jesus carrying his cross. When we bear the yoke of Christ, we are also given a share in the cross of Christ. And to the person without faith, the cross seems like a cruel, unbearable burden. However, the person who has faith knows that they share the cross with Christ willingly because of the love that has been poured into their hearts through the Holy Spirit. They have been so set on fire with the love of God and with the love of one's neighbor that any burden they share with Christ out of love loses its bitterness and its heaviness. This is where the saints who faithfully serve the sick, the dying, the poor, the orphan, the elderly, the inmate, and the immigrant draw their inspiration to persevere in their service despite any trials and difficulties they may face. Their burdens are made light by the love of Christ burning in their hearts. And they know in their hearts that our Lord has given them the freedom to serve him in holiness and righteousness because he has overcome sin and death. It is in the Lord that they find their true and everlasting rest. And it's interesting to note that the Greek word that is used for rest, when Jesus says, "You will find rest for yourselves," relates to the word for the Sabbath rest in the Old Testament. It is not in the law alone that one finds true rest. Rather, it is only in Jesus that one finds true rest. It is in Jesus himself. It is Jesus himself that restores the true original meaning of the Sabbath rest, as he reiterates that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And a key to better understanding our Lord's words in today's gospel passage is found in the chapter that immediately follows this passage. In chapter 12 of Matthew's gospel, Jesus deals with two situations concerning the Sabbath and the laws governing the Sabbath. In the first instance, the Pharisees confront Jesus when they witness his disciples doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. The disciples had been going through the grain fields and plucking heads of grain to eat because they were hungry. And since the Pharisees insist on a strict interpretation of the law, they consider the disciples' actions to constitute work, which is thus forbidden under the law. And notice that the Pharisees have no concern for the hunger of the disciples. If they are hungry, then they should simply bear the burden of their hunger. And hence, the Pharisees apply a rigid interpretation of the law that takes into consideration the letter of the law, but not its spirit. And Jesus responds to the Pharisees with the example of King David, who likewise did what was unlawful when he went into the temple with his companions and ate of the showbread, which only the priests could lawfully eat. Jesus also points out to the Pharisees that the priests in the temple regularly violate the Sabbath when they offer sacrifice, and yet they remain guiltless. Jesus then goes to the heart of the law, which is not meant to place additional undue burdens upon the people, but to instruct the people in the ways of God, the ways of holiness and justice. Jesus says to the Pharisees, "If you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And the irony of the Pharisees' interpretation of the law is that they have taken laws that were meant to liberate people from the constant burden of work and slave labor, and they have twisted those laws into an even greater burden. Later in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus denounces the Pharisees for tying up heavy burdens and placing them on people's shoulders and not lifting a finger to help them. And the second situation concerning the Sabbath in Matthew 12 has to do with a man who has been suffering with a withered hand. According to a strict interpretation of the Sabbath laws, healing is considered work, and so it cannot be performed on the Sabbath. And yet Jesus argues that people have no problem liberating their sheep on the Sabbath when they fall into a pit. He then says to those in the synagogue, "Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." He then heals the man's hand in full view of the crowd. Our Lord's reinterpretation of the Sabbath laws is a demonstration of his desire to lighten the burden of his people. It is a demonstration of the kind of rest that the Lord wishes to give to those who are weighed down by all sorts of burdens, whether they be physical, emotional, psychological, or most especially spiritual. And through his teachings, his words of wisdom, and his acts of charity and mercy, he shows his disciples how to effectively evangelize the world. And we would do well to gaze upon Christ in prayer, to learn from his teaching and his example, and to strive to imitate his style of mercy, compassion, meekness, gentleness, kindness, and justice in our own dealings with others. If we commit ourselves to the service of the Lord in the spirit of faith, hope, and charity, then we too will come to realize that his yoke is indeed easy and his burden is light, and we will find rest in him.